Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, you will be with me in paradise. You've heard those words before. They're read every year in Holy Week. They're read here on Proper 29. This is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week begins a new church year with Advent 1. But imagine the church year, all the things you read, the life of Christ, the things he taught, the things he said and did, the Old Testament prophets and all those things. Here we are at Matthew 29, and they want us to turn back to the cross. The Lord Jesus dying for you and for me. But I always love these words. I know you've heard them, but I just think it is so wonderful to be reminded. Today, you will be with me in paradise. We're going to think about those words, and I want to make some points about the crucifixion of Jesus. You've heard many things about the crucifixion of Jesus, so I'm probably not going to tell you anything new. But I want us to reflect on these things. I think those are some of the most wonderful words of Holy Scripture. We're going to see why in a minute. But the first thing I want to say about the crucifixion of Jesus, and it's so basic, but it needs to be said, and that is that the crucifixion of Jesus happened in real time. What I mean by that is it's a historical event. The death of Jesus, your Savior, is not a metaphor. Jesus speaks in parables. That's a metaphor, right? A parable is a story with a point. But that means some people think, well, the Bible you can kind of take and, you know, pick and choose. That's not it. The Bible, you can read it from the text. When it reads like a historical narrative, when it describes historical things, when it sets its roots down in concrete things, like Jesus is on trial before Pontius Pilate. That's not a metaphor, right? That's an event. Do the Romans really crucify people? Yeah, they do. So that's an event. It's not a parable. It's not a moral lesson. It's what Jesus did. Josephus, an author outside the Bible, mentions his crucifixion. That means it's in the Bible, but there's historians outside the Bible that say Jesus died by crucifixion. Funny enough, even in our day, most scoffers admit that Jesus was crucified. They will say Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but everybody agrees Jesus died on a cross. This is a real thing, an actual thing. Nowadays, we've looked at it, done some studies. I think we know the date. People might argue a little bit, but the Bible tells us that Caiaphas was the high priest, and he was high priest from this date to this date, and Pontius Pilate was the governor, and he was governor from this date to that date, and Jesus is crucified on a Friday at the time of the Passover, and the Passover happens on a Friday during the reign of Caiaphas and Pontius only in AD 30. So that means that Jesus was crucified on Friday, April 7th, AD 30. It's that real. It's like saying that this afternoon the NFL will play football games. It's that real. I know. Imagine this, even more important than the football games. Very hard to contemplate, I know. Now, the first thing is it happened in real time, but the second is this. Christ is a different type of king. Now, I say king because according to our current hymnal, this Sunday is designated as Proper 29. Some of you are old enough to remember when the last Sunday of the church year was called Christ the King Sunday. Some of you remember that phrase? Christ the King Sunday. Now, when we say king, we think, well, power. We think palaces. We think of money. That's the way the kings of the earth do. They amass power and money to themselves. They enrich their friends. They run a corrupt government. Is Jesus our king? He is, but not like that. Colossians is full of that kind of talk, right? The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, right? This is his divinity. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, his church. He's a king. But it's always one of those things you have to grasp, that Christ the King Sunday, which talks about his divinity, about who he really is, winds up with a gospel lesson with him at the cross, because that's who this king is. Not a king to lord it over you, but a king who dies. So that's the first thing is it happened in real time. The second is Christ is a different type of king. The third thing I want to say is it really does save us. Again, not a metaphor, not just a nice story. This is your salvation. This gospel lesson right here. To hear those words that you've heard over and over again, right, with Jesus on his way to the cross and being crucified, being lifted up between two criminals. The leaders stand there and mock Jesus. They just don't get it. Because listen to their words. They say, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah. You see the irony of what they're saying? They're saying, if you are the Savior, why don't you save yourself? And what's the answer to that? He's there to save us, right? If you're the Messiah, come down from the cross. And what's he going to do? He's going to say, I'm not going to come down the cross because I'm the Messiah. I'm here for this. Now, here's the crazy thing. What they say and what other people say, all of those things are recorded in Psalm 22. Some of you know where I am in Scripture. Some of you are thinking, what's Psalm 22? I can tell you right now, you know Psalm 22. Psalm 22, 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's that psalm. When you read Psalm 22, it describes the crucifixion. It talks about what they were going to do. Psalm 22 says that they gambled for my clothing. And then Psalm 22 literally says they're going to say, why doesn't he save himself? And it's funny because we usually say the people of the old world knew the Bible pretty well. Every once in a while they do something and I think maybe they didn't. This is salvation. Now here's the phrase that I started with. After having said those things, and they mock him, and one man comes to faith and one doesn't. But Jesus says these words, today you'll be with me in paradise. That is one of the most wonderful promises in Scripture. It really is. That is one of the most beautiful promises ever said in the Bible. The Bible is saying, contrary to the modern world that thinks you live, you die, that's it. The Bible says that you have a body and a soul, and although this body weakens and dies, by the way, that's what our first hymn was about. If you read the words as you sang it, it seemed morose almost, but it's just real. This body decays and dies, but your soul never dies. Never. Your loved ones whom you have buried are dead in this, but they themselves live. Now, I want to be clear about something. Every once in a while, some people will say, well, when you die, you're buried and your soul goes to sleep and it rises again on the last day. That's called the doctrine of soul sleep. I think that's mistaken. Jesus doesn't say someday in the distant future, you'll be with me in paradise. What does he say? When? Today. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, it's a tough word at some level. He's saying to the guy, you're going to die today. Well, he's on a cross. He kind of gets that. You're going to die today, but you're going to wake up in heaven. That's what he's saying. That's a wonderful word. In the book of the Revelation, the saints in heaven are crying out, how long, O Lord, until you avenge us? I always love to notice that. It shows us that they're awake. That's not soul sleep, they're awake. And they're aware of the passage of time because they said, how long? And they're aware that they're waiting for something more because you are body and soul. When our loved ones and when we ourselves die, the soul goes to be in heaven with the Lord, but that's a disembodied soul. On the last day when the Lord comes again, he gives us a new body. You are body and soul and will be again. Today you'll be with me in paradise. What a wonderful promise that is. And then this has to be said. The resurrection is also a real event. The same as the crucifixion is a real event, not a metaphor, not an analogy. It's a real event. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus happened on a Sunday, died on a Friday. By the way, descended into hell. I hope everyone knows Jesus did not descend into hell to be punished. Jesus descended into hell so he could wave his finger in Satan's face and say, "You've lost." Right? You've lost. And then he rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ walked out of his tomb, and I mean walked like you and I walk across a room. I mean literally and historically walked out of his tomb. C.S. Lewis says that if that one thing isn't true, then Christianity is meaningless, and he's right. Jesus appeared to the women in the garden. He appeared to the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to the 10. Wait, not the 12. No, Judas is dead. Thomas is hiding. He appeared to the 10. He later appeared to the 10 plus Thomas. 1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared one time to 500. And then Paul says, finally and leastly, he appeared to Paul. And all those people absolutely refused to deny that. Now, here's the thing. Our gospel lesson this morning was Luke chapter 23. What comes after Luke 23? Luke 24, you guys are on top of it. Luke 24, which in my Bible, there's a section heading that says the resurrection. In real time for your salvation. I'll close with this. Two criminals, Jesus in the middle, two criminals. One of those men dies angry, sarcastic and bitter. That's how he chose to go out. The other one sees who Jesus is. Imagine that. But this is the beautiful part of that thief on the cross who comes to faith. What did that man bring to the table? Nothing. Not a thing. He's a criminal. He has lived his entire life in sin and rebellion. He's gone his own way and ignored God his whole life. He's being executed today, and that late with nothing in his hands. He has no capability of saying, "Look, Jesus, I'm bringing you all of my good works. Look, Jesus, what I've done for you." He has not a thing, but he does get it. And he says, "Lord, remember me in your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Isn't that lovely? This man dies, and ringing in his ear is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Today you'll be with me." Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.